where do you get your data from? What tools are you using to monitor pollution?
These images we showed come from a European satellite. It's the Sentinel 5P mission, and it on the satellite there's this sensor that can actually measure different gases in the atmosphere, and it's a quite recent system. It's been out there, so it's only been around for a year, and it's let us observe how atmospheric gases changes in different places around the world, which is amazing.
What patterns do we kind of see emerging in the data you've been gathering since lockdown?
So, like, I'm collaborating with people in Europe, and everyone has seen these images of northern hemisphere places, like, you know, around Europe and around China and India, where suddenly we have this clear visibility and air seems to be super clean. So I was curious to see if the same was happening down here in Australia. So together with my colleagues from University of Valencia, we kind of like had this preliminary analysis of a few centers and cities around Australia. And the results, of course, are really interesting because we are actually seeing the expected decrease in some of these pollutants on the atmosphere, so less air pollution on some places, but not quite so on others. So, you know, it's just kind of like we're craving for more research to try and understand what's going on.
I mean, looking at the kind of gases being measured, sort of had a look through your article there, nitrogen dioxide. Can you explain to us why this one is a significant one to kind of take stock on?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, nitrogen dioxide is a huge contributor of air pollution. There's links between human health and high concentrations of nitrogen dioxide. So also kind of like it can actually acidify rain and create acid rain if the levels are too high. It's usually related to burning at high temperatures, so like coal burning, or usually related to traffic, to cars and transportation. So this particular nitrogen dioxide, we can really see from the images. So there's a very clear signal pattern we can observe from the images. So this is the first one we're using to try and understand how air pollution is changing, just because it's more obvious that the signal is stronger.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you look at the light, it's fairly, you would have to say, the images to a layperson seem rather easy to digest. Sydney has seen an enormous drop. Brisbane has seen an enormous drop. Newcastle. But Melbourne, the situation actually looks worse than it did before.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because the shortcoming of these type of observations is that air pollution is very dynamic. And it's really hard to kind of like pinpoint what's causing it, because it changes with things like weather. So if you have like winds, like strong winds, then it will like disperse these gases and we will observe less pollution. Things like rain, you know, but then other activities like human activity. So increasing use of electricity or burning or, you know, even like remnants from kind of like bushfires and stuff. So all of these factors kind of like result on what we're seeing. So the analysis was only done between kind of like pre-lockdown and post-lockdown, so only 2 weeks apart. So at this stage, it's really hard to really tease out what's causing this. And Melbourne is interesting because we can see an increase in pollution. But if we compare that, we're comparing that to kind of like more longer term averages. So, you know, usually Melbourne at this stage of the year will increase in 50%. And what we're seeing is that it only increased 40%. So actually, it hasn't increased as much as it does. But we need way more research to kind of like, you know, put a cause or understand what's causing that.
Well, is the intention to continue this research to, I guess, post lockdown, when we're all sort of back and up and moving again, and then sort of collate some of these results?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the whole idea behind this research is to first try and have some evidence that you know, slowing of some economic activities are actually resulting in this decrease in pollution. And it's really important because we need to decrease this pollution. We will have an immediate benefit in health, but also ecological benefit. So what we're trying to see is establish this link and then, you know, try and keep this on a long term, because it doesn't make any sense going back to these higher levels of pollution. So, you know, if we're seeing that slowing down some activities benefit us in terms of air pollution, then we should be striving to kind of like keep this permanently.
Well, Javier, I do appreciate you joining us with some intriguing research. Do appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.